Welcome to Advantage Over, the only global rugby podcast to help you become a better referee. Your host today is Keith Lewis. Are you ready? Time on.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined today by someone who goes by a few different names around the world, depending on how you might know him, as to what you might call him. So, Mr. Cartwright, if you're involved in the schooling, if you're in a school in the Manchester area, you might have come across the bald ref on Instagram. And believe Johnny Cartwright is what you're actually known as, that we know each other as. But finally, and it's well worthy of recognition, the 2025 Loose Head of the Year, following a recent Loose Heads Community Awards last week. So, Johnny, thanks very much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to speak to you for all things rugby and refereeing.
Well, that's what we're here for. Obviously, I think we've got to start this by talking about your referee journey. Most people know how I got to here if they listened to the podcast before. But how are you on the other end of this line today?
I never had any little brothers and two sisters. I just love coaching and being part of rugby. So I coached my cousin's age group. He's 9 years younger than me, and sort of a few different things, as you know, like Colts rugby on a Sunday, depending on what league you're in, depends on which referees turn up. And a good family friend of mine, who is a former referee himself, Trevor Fisher, turned up to referee on a Sunday afternoon at my local club. I said to him, I was like, Trevor, wish the referees were this good every Sunday. He was like, well, if you think you could do a better job than some of them, then you should throw your hat in the ring. And we sort of laughed it off. And then I saw him a little bit later. I think I was working in a pub in the village. He's like, have you taken up the whistle yet, Johnny? I was like, no. He's like, right, come on, I'm going to take you to a Manchester referee meeting. So we did. And then didn't start refereeing straight away. I did the courses, did the badges, and then just practiced with the minis and juniors at the club I was at. And then my cousin's Colts journey finished. I then started refereeing for Manchester shortly after university. That's where I'm at
well,
now.
That's probably a common area that we both have, because I was also a Manchester referee for when I was at uni back in the day. So we probably trod on the same pitches quite around the county. So that's good. So how many people would get into refereeing via coaching? I assume before that you did a bit of running around with the ball as well.
Yeah, so during those days, I was still playing as well. So I played at Lim as a little kid, played then I was at uni over in Leeds, played at Morley for a few years. And then when I started teaching, I lived in the centre of Manchester. So I played at Broughton Park, really enjoyed that. Then as everybody, like niggles and injuries and different bits and bobs, I got married, and One Saturday morning, my wife and I bought our first house, and I went to strip all the wallpaper off the bathroom in the ensuite. And I got halfway through it, I was like, you know what it is, you lose track of time, and that's it. Grabbed my kit bag, went out to rugby, came home at 7:30 with my hand in a cast because I'd broken my thumb, and then had to find the finances to get a decorator to finish off the bathroom because she was not impressed. And at that point, we started having some conversations about whether I should potentially start refereeing properly for Manchester, instead of carrying on playing and coming home with bumps and bangs and not being able to function properly. And I agreed with her, as many of us do. So that's when I then started sort of refereeing more often for Manchester, Saturdays, Sundays, midweeks if I was on half term from teaching.
And where are you now in the refereeing front?
So I've gone through all the way through. I moved quite quickly from level 12, level 11 at Manchester. Went within a season, I was refereeing some level 7 games as a solid level 8 referee. Then on the Northwest Federation, which is that sort of level 6, level 7 referees with some potential identified. We had our first child, and Jack is 8 now, so sort of took a little break from that because I didn't really want to be going on exchanges. I wanted just to be local. And then when the restructuring of all the leagues happened, and there was no longer a national 3, it became regional 1, I was then a steady week in, week out level 6 referee, and I was back to really enjoying my refereeing, and apparently I was performing well. So then I got invited onto the Regional 1 North team, and Continued for, I think I refereed there for 3 years. And then just in the new year, 2025, I decided to take up the flag and go AR in just to try something different. Off the pitch, I am and have been now, I'm in my second full year of training and development chairman, officer, person for Manchester Referee Society. So all things T&D, referee development, CPD, all those bits and bobs, that's my bag as a volunteer for Manchester as well.
I guess bringing the teaching background into the referee education piece as well.
Yeah, indeed. I think it's difficult because sometimes you don't want to be too teachery, but when you've got an understanding of putting a program together and what training and development and CPD looks like in the teaching world, and then you've able to identify your objectives to be able to support referees in the rugby world, actually the transferable skill has proven quite useful.
And how do you find in the current climate of kind of referees being, I guess, less available, but wanting to make the maximum use of their time on the referee development front, how are you taking referees across Manchester and district and developing them? Are you doing new things, different things? Anything new that people perhaps hadn't thought about?
So we're trying to take the learnings and some of the things that we do with the Regional One group, which then also we've got really good links with Craig Maxwell Keys over the last sort of 12, 18 months as well, because he's been overseeing all the Level 5 Regional One referees with Andrew Small from the RFU, trying to take some of the bits that we do from them, implement that then further down the society as well in terms of exposure to video review, video analysis. 2 weekends ago, I was able to get a Level 9 and a Level 7 Manchester matches filmed properly with a cameraman, so paying for a cameraman to go to these. And for some of these referees and also these teams, they're like, oh my days, I'm like, do you want access to the film so you can do some review? And oh, wow, that's better than a video, isn't it? So yeah, it is. And so that sort of stuff, also looking at timelining, bit more teachery of me as well, but all the Manchester referees this season have been given a review document where we want them to target set for the year, identify what went well last season, what they can do even better if what their focuses are, their EBIs this season. Again, sorry, it's teachery. And then do a mid-season review. And we did the developers training day. I led that 2 weeks ago at Preston. Again, just encouraging the developers to get the referees to reflect on what they're doing. Each season, I try and have like a theme, which we base the training and development around, and the CPD. So you've got your monthly CPD meetings where we do review those clips, and we've got different bits and bobs. Then we have a few different courses that run alongside that for certain referees at different levels to help them make progress and identify people that want to become better referees, because some people do the enjoyment and they're quite happy to go and just be a Level 8 referee and referee Level 8 games week in, week out, and others actually might be Level 11 and want to get to 8, or might be 9 and want to get to 6. So there's a whole host of people. I think we've got 136 active referees in our society, so it's quite a range. But yeah, last season's CPD theme was training for Manchester by Manchester. So we had Kieran Henry and Henry Pearson, who are a referee and AR who have just joined the PGMOT. They both delivered sessions for us. And then we had Jack Morehouse, who is currently refereeing at Level 3 on the National League. He delivered a session. Again, ARs from the National League on working effectively as a team of three. So people who have come through the Manchester system and are Manchester Society members, giving back, if you like. So that was quite nice. This season we've looked, I've looked outside, and the theme is putting the referee at the centre. So we've got one of the strength and conditioning team from the Rugby Football League, Ella Johnson. She's coming to deliver a strength and conditioning session. Loose Heads, who obviously I'm really passionate about, they're coming to our November meeting to talk about referee mental health and wellbeing, and they've done a pilot session with Manchester Mad Refs as well, to sort of prep for that and start to build a referee toolkit, which is cool. And then we've invited some stakeholders in as well. So some of the coaches that we deal with at Level 6, 7 and 8, they're going to come to the January meeting, and Cheshire RFU are going to. So it's all about that referee wellbeing, referee development. And that's our sort of theme for this season to help our referees progress.
Oh, there's loads of little nuggets in there, isn't there? I think people listening around the world. So firstly, just say PGMOT is the Professional Game Match Officials team here in England. So that's the kind of the elite end refs that you'll know by name. Craig Maxwell-Key is one of the former professional referees, obviously doing some more work with the talent pipeline around the regions there. But one of the th key things you talked about there, I think, was there are within your 130 odd referees around Manchester and District, there are people who are looking to progress no matter what level they are. So listening on this podcast, will listen to this podcast, I hope, will be referees who are going out and refereeing at community rugby at the what generally, let's call it the very bottom, but that's not, I'm not demeaning it by that way. But those are referees who are refereeing currently, just getting started, just getting going on their journey, who want to get to level eight. That might be their peak, and that's brilliant. There are referees out there listening to this who will be where you were and where I was a long time ago about trying to get out of the top of the community league into the national leagues and broaching that. So there's lots of steps to be made. That's obviously from a training and development perspective, must give you guys a bit of a challenge to deliver that so it's meaningful to your level 11, 10 referee wanting to grow as well as your 5 and 6.
Yeah, it does. And I think sort of the higher up you get, the more scrutiny and also therefore the more support that you get in. So those regional one referees where I was for the last few years, like you get a coach or a developer coming with you every weekend. So you're not by yourself if you're refereeing in the federation, if you like. So between Manchester and Liverpool, the North West Federation, then sort of at least every few weeks you'll get seen. But then there'll be other referees who mainly potentially only get seen once or twice a year. So one of the key things for us is to allow them to still access their potential and development. So in those society meetings, and that's where I said before about we get 2 weeks ago, I got these level 7 and level 9 games filmed because for referees that are at the start of their journey or they're lower down in terms of the levels of refereeing, watching a level 5, a level 4, a Premiership game, that's not real to what they're doing. It doesn't support their decision making. So one of the things that we're really striving is to make sure we've got lots of footage that is relevant to those referees. So it's aspirational to the level that they are refereeing at so that they can learn from apply and just promoting the conversation as well. So in our Manchester WhatsApp groups now, we have a WhatsApp community now. And one of the groups is where there's no chat that goes in it. We just post the links to videos and to films to really encourage people to be watching each other because we've really found over the last couple of years that there's no substitute for being able to watch a film back and then have a discussion about, like, well, was the positioning good? Was the movement good? If we've got a microphone with a comms good, and then be able to reflect on it as an individual, but then also get feedback from your peers as well as to what they think about it. And that openness to be able to reflect is something that's really grown in the last sort of 6 to 8 months, I think. And it's definitely helping our referees.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I see that in the sort of the little groups that I'm involved in at my club and how we're developing our club referees. Those sorts of communities of practice is to use the, I guess the no, there was a word I was going to use there that I won't for podcast reasons. That's sort of the common phraseology that we kind of use now to kind of develop those communities, whatever they look like. I like to think the sort of ref squad group that we run on face that I run on Facebook is quite big now as a community,
Yeah.
but 5,000 refs in there talking about refereeing stuff can't do anybody any harm.
No, I agree. I think the opportunity to have those conversations is super valuable, and learn from each other, I think, because there's a lot of experience out there. Again, one of the things we're looking at is we discussed recently, not all referees progress is on an upward trajectory, but it doesn't mean as I said, I use level 8 just because it pops to head. You might be a level 8 referee for 6 years. Well, referees, the majority of people, they don't want to be the same standard of level 8 referee 6 years ago. The game changes, the laws update, the laws change, the players change, they want to improve and grow. So progress might not always follow a positive upward trajectory. It might be sort of almost flatlining, but it can't flatline if you know what I mean. I'm potentially not
Sure.
describing this very well, but
Yeah,
people
no, it
want
makes
to make
sense. Yeah.
progress relative to where they are, and that's something we're really keen to support.
That's good. And the other group of people that you're talking to there are obviously coaches. Obviously, you're co from a coaching background and bringing those coaches into the refereeing circle. Do you find that is a challenge, or it's an open door waiting to be had?
It's different, and it really depends on the individuals. I'm pushing and encouraging our referees to actively seek feedback from coaches after the game, being brave enough to go for the conversation, whether it be a positive or negative, because ultimately, if it's a draw, something's gone wrong in a game of rugby. So there will be a winner and a loser. So one coach will be potentially more happier than the other. So encouraging those referees to go and have the conversations afterwards, but equally acknowledging that it might not be the right time for those people to reflect and talk to you about the game. And some of those coaches are really keen to engage. I've got a few in mind, and they will engage with the referee. Sometimes they'll still feel frustrated, or they will feel hard done by. There's not a team of three in anything underneath level four, and there's certainly no TMO. So you can only see one point of view from one place at one time. So the referees aren't going to get everything right all the time, and a lot of people do understand that. Some coaches aren't really keen, or they're looking for somebody potentially blame. But on the whole, I do feel like there is a change in willingness to work with the referees to improve it. And I think the more we can encourage our referees to go and speak to coaches, and the more instances we've got of coaches actively engaging with referees for positives and negatives, or this is what we, and the best conversations I get back to me is where a losing coach will go to referee and be like, look, this and this happened, like, this is what I saw, can you explain to me like how you arrived at that decision? I quite often reflect when I'm talking to people like this about the Manchester Rugby Club coach, Marshall. He's a big character, and he always, when I was refereeing at level five, great feedback. He'd tell me if I was good and he'd tell me if I was terrible, but the terrible would come with, I don't understand how you got to this conclusion. Like, we saw this. What could we have done differently to avoid you penalising for that? Or the scrum looked like this was happening, but like our tight head just said all game this, and it'd be a really good dialogue. And then usually it would end up with one of us looking at the film, getting in touch, or we'd have that conversation. And I like that. Like, referees should be open to be challenged to improve and make the game better. But I think that challenge just has to come in the right way. And some coaches are getting really good at it, and some still need a little bit of finesse.
Yeah, and you mentioned Manchester, so I'm going to go back in time to another Manchester coach. I had a very similar experience with Dave Baldwin when he was there, and it's in the National League status. And I had some really, really great conversations with him from our different perspectives, but we ended up having good rugby conversations. And I think any time we as referees can have good rugby conversations with good coaches, it can only be a benefit to everybody. And we'll hopefully you've all got listening to this. There are people that you know out there who are good coaches to talk to. So please have those conversations, which is great.
100%, completely agree.
So this is like seamless. So conversations. I'm just going to put a little health warning into this bit, because I think we might just be heading into a different area, which we might start touching on subjects that listeners might just find a bit more emotive and difficult to listen to and talk about, and that's okay. And if off the back of this you want to talk to somebody about what we're talking about, then there'll be links in the show notes to talk about it. So we're gonna kind of talk about the Loose Heads stuff and what Loose Heads is about, your journey through social media, your board the board ref is what most people will know you as, which is how we first started to talk, and how you've used social both to talk about refereeing, but then the link into Loose Heads. So there's this kind of a big opening spiel there about how we get into. So how did you find out about Loose Heads? And was it through social? Are the two linked?
I don't know when I very first came across Loose Heads as an organisation. Potentially through maybe even as a clothing brand, I think. Mm-hmm. Potentially when you see on some of their early socials, like some of the England boys, some of the Sail Sharks boys wearing some of their T-shirts. I sort of quickly resonated with what they're doing and that sort of that mental health piece. And
what was it? Can you tell us what it is they are, for those who haven't come across them before? I know we're both wearing our Loose Heads tops. Yeah. Now that we're recording this, but I've got my polo top on and you've got your T-shirt on. But what are they?
So Loose Heads is rugby's mental health charity. It was started not too far from me at the end of the bar at Wilmslow Rugby Club post game, and it's quite fresh this, because I listened to Rob and Dave, the co-founders of it, last week at their annual celebration. And it started as a result of a couple of the friends that were going through a hard time. It's like, and just being like, oh, mate, you'll be all right. Pat on the back, have a beer. Like, their feeling was it just wasn't enough. And then it's grown from there. Yeah, I probably first got into looking at it as a clothing brand, found out more about it, just liked what they're about. A few years ago, they have their Looseheads ambassadors. They have like WhatsApp groups each year where it's trying to spread the news around. There's a group of people, like a cohort, if you like, every year, and they're spreading the Looseheads message into their local rugby clubs, because their vision is to have a Looseheads mental health ambassador in every rugby club in the world. I've known about them. I've felt a connection with Looseheads as the rugby's mental health charity, but also then just liking the brand itself. And then as part of last year's Regional One referee group, a player from Rosendale Rugby Club, Liam Canning, sadly took his own life. And I was refereeing at Rosendale Rugby Club the Saturday after, they still decided to play. His wife Paige was there, his family, at the start of the game. We had a minute's round of applause, and I spoke to a couple of the boys and was just like, what can we do? Like, he was a larger than life character. And I've said this before, and his wife understands, like, he was a pain to referee. Like, loved a little bit of niggle, loved a little late tackle, but he'd be the first one to come up to you after the game, shake your hand and be like, you did all right today, ref. Like, he was a good bloke.
And we all know people like that in rugby.
I don't know. I didn't know him well as a person. I knew him well as a rugby player. I had refereed him loads of times in the North Rugby, Northeast versus Northwest game the year before. I'd refereed him again, like getting stuck into the Northeast lads. He just loved being a pest on the rugby pitch. So having known him as a rugby player, like he felt quite a big loss to the league. And it was just something that it was just on my mind a lot. And I spoke to one of the other boys, and we got in touch with Looseheads, and we got plain black t-shirts with Canning, which is his surname, and then It's Okay Not to Be Okay on the bottom. And we use those as our warm-up t-shirts. Every referee in the Regional One North match official team used them to warm up in all of last season, as a mark of respect for a great bloke. And then I got more involved with the Looseheads as a result, and I regularly referee their Looseheads RFC, the Looseheads Barbarians team, which whenever they're playing in the Northwest, I either referee it myself or I get other Manchester referees to referee it, and trying to make it more of an occasion as well for them. So whenever we can now, we put a team of three on those matches as well. This Christmas, we're going to do Looseheads Barbarians versus Manchester Referees Society 15.
I think I'm going to be busy that day when that request to referee comes in my direction.
There's plenty of players signing up for the Looseheads Bar Bars on that
sure
day.
There are.
And then as part of that, then just getting to know Hannah, Dave, Rob, and more recently Heather, who's come on board for them. Then I got obviously invited over to do the Looseheads and the Wooden Spoons Guinness World Record at the longest game of rugby in Mullingar, just outside Dublin, in the summer. Can't remember the exact date now. That was incredible to be part of breaking world records of men and a women's game going on simultaneously. Slightly delirious, but really, really cool. And then that was also the weekend of the opening Lions game against Argentina. So we got to do a pitch walk at half time. And again, just feel like I made some unbelievable friends and sort of connections for life there. Looseheads are quite supportive of what I do around my Waffle Wednesdays. Quite often get a repost and a share on Instagram. So it's sort of that the message goes hand in hand. And my attempt to do something to support mental health and take a leaf out of that Looseheads message, which is tackle the stigma. It's okay not to be okay. Wanting people to talk about it. My best man who I live with from my wedding and who I live with at uni, he once sent me, he said, I've read this thing about some Waffle Wednesday, like, and we don't live too far from each other, but we've both got two kids, we're heavily into our sports, we live on the opposite sides of Manchester, so we don't see each other very often. So we started sending each other a voice note or a video message every Wednesday as part of our Waffle Wednesday, and I was like, right, this is brilliant for me. Like, selfishly, like, in terms of looking out for number one, like, put your own oxygen mask on first. Like, I'm here for this. And then I started it with my cousin as well, somebody that I've got a lot of love for, but I don't really speak to very often, or see very often. So we set this up, and I was like, do you know what? Like, I wonder how many other people this might just be able to help. It was on brand with everything I thought about Loose Heads and the timing with sort of Liam Canning and then getting more involved with Loose Heads Barbarians. And that's been my constant on my social media. My Waffle Wednesday is my thing. It spills over into the different bits and bobs that I do around challenging match official abuse. But that's because of the impact that that has on referee mental health and people's mental health. I think that's probably ultimately why I've ended up winning the Loose Head of the Year award last week for the work that I do around that Waffle Wednesday and just trying to tackle the stigma.
Yeah, and look, the data around mental health in what I'm going to say is our collective or our type, the type of people that listen to this podcast, generally middle-aged-ish, getting towards that age, males who are at the highest risk of mental health and the suicide rates amongst that cohort are far too high. So it's really important that we have opportunities to do that and we talk about it. And I think, look, we as referees operate as a community in silos. So we often don't have that. And if we don't have that in our own community and that's our main outlet for getting out of the house, and we perhaps don't have it in our family lives or our work lives, then we're kind of operating in personal silos all the time. So finding ways to get through that and find people to talk to and opening up is, I think, is crucial for our community. And it's not just a male thing. There's obviously plenty of people listening to this on the female side, and it's great that we're growing that side of the game as well, and more listeners and more referees coming from the female match official community as well, and that's brilliant. But we've also got to just make sure that we're all looking after ourselves wherever we are.
100%. I think the Waffle Wednesday has its own thing for, and I try and target that rugby community, but because that's who I sort of assimilate with most commonly, but not exclusively at all. And just taking a feed from that and the sort of energy and the connections and the opportunities that's given me and then other people have. One of the biggest benefits I got from being part of the Regional One match official team in the north of England is that the group has never really been more than sort of 15. And of those, there was always sort of 8 to 9 who were week in, week out referees. But one of the things that we started in terms of we're reflecting, we're watching each other's videos all the time, we're meeting every month on a separate, smaller meeting. I started ringing a couple of the boys on the way. The geographical nightmare of the Region 1 North means that, well, a couple of seasons ago, you could be refereeing anywhere from Sandbach or the Wirral all the way
which is on the west side of the north of England, folks.
Yeah, to basically Newcastle, Alnwick, Bladon.
On the far northeast side of the UK coast.
Yeah, so it was, and we're talking like four and a half hour drives you were sent from where I am, sort of Cheshire area, all the way up there. So we start chatting, and a lot of the lads have, the shortest commutes would be sort of 40 minutes. So we started ringing on the way with what we're focusing on today, what went well for us last week. And then you'd ring the same lads on the way back, and that community, that opportunity, even if you weren't actually talking about your life, you're just talking about your refereeing for the day, what's gone well for you, just that opportunity to get it off your chest. It's something that we now really push other referees, encourage other referees to do. Because we've now got a group in Manchester who make up sort of half of that Regional One North group, and they've been through it. But even now, I mention really good friend of mine, Henry Pearson, who's just signed onto the PGMOT, and he's refereeing Championship Rugby. We're friends. Like, he rings me and I ring him, but at the same time, the pair of us have much younger referees who are 18, 19, who are just starting on the cusp of that group. They'll ring us as well and like have a chat, look for advice, just shared experiences, but also learning from each other too. So I think the conversation's opening up in all different areas, and the more that referees can do that, I think the better the referee they'll become, and the stronger, and that you said before about operating in silos, well, the stronger the relationships will become, and hopefully break down some of those barriers. And when you get on the pitch, you're by yourself in the middle, but you're not by yourself the rest of the time. There's a lot of people in the same situation. You are just really sort of decompartmentalized, if you like.
Yeah. And like you talked about some of the stuff in there that's positive about what how it's good, but also with being out there and the challenges that we have around our clubs and our games, is that sometimes that focus and pressure ends up coming right back on us, whether we like it or not, in very negative ways. There's a thread in the rugbyreferee.net Facebook community group today, on a similar vein about the impact on match official abuse, or even the not quite abuse stuff, which can be even worse as it builds up. Those comments that you get from either players or from the sideline, and the impact that has on us as referees. That's a common thread that we keep seeing. Is that a challenge that you are seeing as well in your part? Have you done anything with it through Loosehead? You talked about a mental health, a sort of resilience toolkit, I think you referenced, that Loosehead are developing, which sounds great. But what else is going on?
Yeah, so it's really hard because match official abuse is like the more extreme stuff. And then I do like that sort of where I'm at the moment in terms of Lancashire and Cheshire and the Northwest, like there's a drive also to address failure to respect as well as match official abuse, which does carry lesser sanctions, but also is prevalent in the game. So I respect that that is something that people are looking at this season, and letters have been written to clubs. I think it can only be a positive move. Looseheads are developing, so they've done a little pilot and a focus group in September, and then they're delivering their main session in November to our referee society. Again, delivering it to Manchester as a bit of a pilot, but the idea being that we've shared some of the strategies that work for us. Some of them I've already mentioned to you, some of the things that don't work, some of the things that have the biggest impact on referees as well, so that people know what to look out for. And I think that can also play a massive, massive part. They recently said on another podcast that Heather was on there talking to Ben Youngs and Dan Cole, and they're saying actually, even just highlighting to players on, I think they're talking to the FEMA England, the Red Roses on the way out of the World Cup, and that sort of post-tournament crash, highlighting and signposting the things to look for in your own mental health, so that at least if you are going to experience that, you see it coming. And that's the sort of thing that they're looking to do to support grassroots referees as well. Like, if you're feeling this, have you thought about this? Or these are the signs and the impact that it might have, to make people a little bit more aware. Because sometimes you're going through something and you find yourself in a dark headspace and you don't necessarily recognize how you've ended up there or what caused you to be there. So I think that's really powerful in terms of what they're doing there. The other part of your question in terms of what have I seen? So I see and speak to many referees around Manchester area, Liverpool area, the northwest of England, and then across the country now because of some of the exposure I've had from AR. And people ring me, and I think maybe sometimes they also see that I'm banging the drum for referee mental health and mental health generally, and maybe see me as a safe space or somebody to talk to. I'm not sure, but they'll tell me about instances and things that have happened, and it just really frustrates me because we spoke before about coach come and has a conversation in the right way. Like, referees will not get it right all the time, but if the conversation is done in the right way and it's about learning why the referee made those decisions or supporting the referee to be like, well, I don't understand what's gone wrong for us here. Like, can you tell us what you saw, or can we tell you what we saw so you can maybe learn from us, or we can at least appreciate where we're coming from. But even last week on the day I accepted my award, I was getting ready to go down to London and get a WhatsApp, and it's a screenshot of a rugby club that has, and it wasn't that bad, but it was a dig at the referee. The problem was the fact that that rugby club had a dig at the referee from a Colts game, an under-17s game. They'd opened the conversation. They started that conversation. And then the comments that followed from supporters and followers of the club, honestly, the referee's only got one arm. I've never seen something so biased. I was just like, the referee's reading this. Like, what is all right with this? And I challenged it. A few other referees also got on board and challenged it. And there's two main culprits, and they just couldn't seem to understand what was wrong with what they were saying. They sort of going down the freedom of speech route. And I was like, there is a freedom of speech, but also, like, you must just not be rugby people, maybe, like, because this is just not core values. And that's not me being blazer and red chinos. This is not rugby. Like, it's not what rugby should be at any level. Like, go and have the conversation, speak to them. But yeah, it does creep in. Sometimes there's a feeling that from referees, and this is me speaking both anecdotally and factually, because I'm thinking about specific examples where, and I understand that different CBs can find it difficult either to evidence or to prove. And last year, I was on the wrong end of a warning for disseminating match official abuse, because I reposted a negative comment that a rugby club had made about a female match official, again suggesting that she was a cheat. I was like, core values, question mark. And I ended up in trouble for being the one, because I was highlighting match official abuse. I can understand how that would frustrate people. And I also have had time to reflect and think, and speaking to the chairman and the secretary of Manchester Referee Society as well, and just being like, look, is that the best way to challenge it? And I'm like, possibly not, probably not. Is it the only way to challenge it? No, it's not. However, sometimes change makes people feel uncomfortable, and just because it makes people feel uncomfortable, should we stop it? So yeah, I've had plenty of time to think and reflect myself. And would I do some things differently? Yes, I would. Will I stop calling out match official abuse? No, I absolutely will not. And I just think that we all need to be open to be able to have that conversation, to support referees to be better. And that's the message we as a society are giving our referees. And I certainly drive, like, we want the game to be better. We want to referee to the best standard that we can. Let's work with people to reflect and improve. I'd really love clubs, more clubs, to be on board that message as well. Like, let's work with all of our referees to help them to improve to a better standard.
I think everyone listening to this is coming into this debate from a really positive place, from a refereeing perspective. And I have to say, when I was seeing those posts that you put out at the time, I think everyone who saw it in the referee community will have raised their mug in your direction, or their glass in, or their pint tankard, whatever that might have been, wine glass in your direction, and gone, I wish I had the courage to say that out loud. So it was, I think it was a really positive conversation around something that's really negative. And sometimes we do shy away from being the ones who make that case. But I think it is important that we don't just brush it under a carpet for the sake of the game. We are, as the referee community, we are a fundamental part of the game. And those comments have an impact on us as referees. There are referees I know who are listening to this going, say, I know I stopped refereeing because of that scenario. And that's one referee too many in the game. We can't afford to lose referees. So I think we need to keep talking about them in the right way, in the right tone, the same thing that we would say to captains, if you want to talk to us. And we've got to find our right way and our right tone, but not shy away from those difficult conversations. So I said, I was grateful to see it, because it's the sort of thing that I've often wanted to do and shied away from. But it is a good one, and it's a trigger for debate, isn't it? Look, we've got to find a way to work together as a game to stop it from happening, and to help encourage more people to become referees.
I think the thing that, as well, a lot of people, a chunk of people saw it as a negative, but, and I'm not going to name people, names, clubs, because that's just not appropriate. But what I will say is, at that time, and when I did post in my story, three of those rugby clubs got in touch with me, and they were like, so sorry that that's happened at our rugby club. Like, will you work with us? Like, what can we do better? Can you come to our club? Will you send somebody from your society to come and watch on a match day and help us here? So actually, like, some real positives. There were some definite uncomfortable feelings, and I definitely got a full inbox of some unhappy people, but I also got an inbox of people that were like, genuinely, like, we didn't know that had happened at our rugby club. We didn't know that had happened in our Colts game, or like, how can we improve this relationship? How can we help your referees? What would make a difference to match day? And then others that have come back to me, even this season, it's brilliant. Like, what is the right channel? This is the experience. Yeah. Sunday evening, I spoke to a player who not had the best interaction with a referee. They live in the south of Cheshire, so their away games aren't from Manchester. So I wasn't able to help as much as I'd like, But I was like, well, these are the routes that I would explore to be able to help you solve this problem. And yeah, I do think you should approach the referee or the society to be able to share your experience, but also from a learning point of view, like, because that referee, if they don't find out about this or what that point of view is, or you don't find out their side to the story, then that might happen against somebody next week, or you might have the same experience. So we've got to be in this together to be able to drive these standards and improve everyone's experience too. So there was a lot of positives that did come out of it.
I think that's the core message. Look, we're all trying to make a positive experience for the, in our experience, to improve the game that we're involved in, but also we're trying to improve rugby. This is the environment that we, the sport that we are involved in, is we're involved in it for a reason, because that's what drives us all. And I think we all have those conversations, and we've talked that the word conversation is the one that's triggered through all the different strands of what we've talked about so far today. And that's a really good thing that we should all have a conversation, no matter what type of conversation it is or about any of the subjects that we've talked about. That's, for me, is that, I guess, the takeaway from this conversation. So I think, Joe, it's been a cracking 40 odd minutes or so of chat, loads of great stuff that hopefully people can reflect on and listen to. Congratulations on your award once again.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully you'll keep on supporting and advocating for referees in whatever way you are, whatever you want to.
100%. Like I said in the video that Lisa's a part of this week, like, this all comes from a good place. Like, I've got two little boys who love playing rugby. They're 5 and 8 at the moment, and I want rugby to continue as a successful sport, and I want it to be a place where they're happy and thrive growing up, but also whereas two little boys who are going to grow up over the next, 20 years, they can go and talk to their mates in the changing room afterwards and feel safe about it. So yeah, thank you for having me. And look forward to continuing to advocate for referees, but also for mental health. And I'll always be waffling on a Wednesday. If anybody's not got anybody to waffle to, they can certainly send me a message and I'll have a listen.
Great stuff. Thanks, Jen. Of course, we'll put a bunch of links in the show notes there so that you can connect with Johnny on the Bald Ref. You can talk about Waffle Wednesday, onto Loose Heads, and to all the other things that we've talked about there again. So, Johnny, thanks again for joining us.
We hope you've enjoyed the content that we've brought to you this week on the Advantage Over podcast. We'd really appreciate your likes, rates, reviews, wherever it was that you found this episode. So please do head there, leave us a review, say some nice things, and we really do appreciate those. It does help more people find us and gives us a nice little feedback loop as we go into the next episode. But what we'd also really like is if you could tell your referee friends, colleagues, your referee community about this podcast. So over time, your comments, your introductions to the podcast really helps us build a better refereeing community and brings this podcast to more ears around the world. Also, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. So please either drop us an email at ref@rugbyreferee.net, or you can find us across all the social networks at rugbyrefereenet, or you can come across to our Facebook group. We've got a really active referee community with over 4,000 members in all over the world. So if you head to refsquad.com, that will bounce you into the right place. Answer a few questions and we'll let you in. So that really is it for today. So let's call Advantage Over.